Today is also a very joyous day because we've got two official things of business to do today. But sometimes when we do things official, it doesn't sound like it's joyous, but it is actually joyous. So what we have to do first is we will bring Cecily into membership, and she will have, she wants to give us her testimony of her life. So we will enjoy and listen to her and see how it touches our lives and what we can learn from her. And then after that, we will bring Cheryl, will be ordained as elder and inducted as elder here in St. Andrews. So there's two things that we have to do before we can go on with the word and listening to the word. But this is the joyous occasion that we can receive people in membership and that people take on responsibility to lead his church, not our church, but God's church. So, Cecily, please come forward. Yeah. Then we can speak through the same microphone. So first I will do this little bit that you need to do and say that after me and everything like that. And there is a PowerPoint. Oh, I forgot to give you the PowerPoint. I knew I'd forgotten something. I have a stick. What we do, well, she gets that ready. Why don't you tell us your story first, and then after that, yes, we'll bring you, we'll do the official bit. Is that all right?
Okay, that's fine.
Yes?
Good morning, everybody. Father God, I just thank you that for being able to share what you've done in my life today. Many years ago, I was at a Lydia meeting, and the lady stood up and she said, it was a conference in Ashburnham, and she said, you know, the Lord is good. And I thought to myself, I wish I could say that, but it was also a prayer. But today I can say, God is good, but he's very good. I was, for the first 12 years of my life, I was in a West Sussex village. My mother was associated with St. Saviour's Priory in Hackney in London. So my godmother was Mother Superior of that church, of that organisation. We went to an Anglo-Catholic church, so I was confirmed at the age of 7. I think I was about 3 or 4 when my father came home from the war, and soon after my sister was born. But they didn't get on. They argued morning, noon and night, and we were neglected. We were often hungry. We didn't always have the right clothes to wear, and we were often left alone. And when the film Home Alone came out, I just remember walking around the house thinking, how could anybody make a film of being home alone? When I was about 10 or 11, my father was paying me the wrong sort of attention. You'd call it grooming today, I think. But then suddenly he left. Fortunately, a lady from the church realised what a state we were in, and we were taken into care. We ended up in a dreadful children's home in Seaford, and all I could think of was, how am I going to escape from this place? And then suddenly my godmother turned up and she said, did we want to go to the convent? And we said yes. The convent was run by a wonderful nun called Sister Isabel. She came to my wedding and also to my sister's. I went into nursing and I prayed for the right husband, and that prayer was answered. We had three daughters very quickly, and we became foster parents. A little chap, 5, joined us today. Sorry. And he's still part of our family today. When the children were in their late teens, I started thinking about my life. I was happily married and I loved my job. and the children were okay, but there was something missing. And I realised I was disillusioned with the Christian life in the church. And one day I flung myself on the bed and spoke loud. Lord, I'm fed up with this Christian life. You can have me, my husband, the children, my money, the house, the cat, the dog. And I got up and thought, well, that's that. Well, when I opened my eyes the next morning, I just knew something had changed. And as I sat up, I realised that there'd been a shift in the atmosphere. And as I stood up, I felt I had an invisible cord going from me up to heaven, and that stayed with me for about 3 days. And the other thing that hit me was that the Bible was true. Now, I'd been going to church and everything, but there weren't such things as Bible studies. I'd got a Bible as a present from school, but it never occurred to me to read it, actually. And I had the impression the disciples sort of came alive, and I was just thinking, oh, goodness. Anyway, the next night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was a presence of evil in the room, and I knew, and I just thought, wow. And then it came to me that I should read Psalm 91. So, of course, the next day I found my Bible, read Psalm 91. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. So when it came again the next night, that's what I said, and it never came back again. And then God gave me a picture, and he said, and I was in a front garden with a wall and a gate, and I was by the gate and people walking past, and he said, you're not letting anybody into your life. And he said, you've invited me into your life, but I'm only in the hallway, because there was a house in the garden as well. And he said, we've got to go through all the rooms and the attic and the basement. And I thought, okay. Now, in that time in Brighton, there was a lot going on. There was John Wimber coming over from America, filling the Brighton Centre with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Terry Virgo's church was expanding. And we actually left the church we were going to and joined Terry Virgo's church. And there was a couple that moved into the area where we lived, and she set up a Lydia prayer group, and that's how I got into Lydia. So over the years, there was opportunity for prayers and healing and deliverance. So I just wanted to share a few experiences. I was at a small meeting, and John Wimber was speaking, and the Holy Spirit came on me, and I went out for prayer, and the lady said, what's going on? And I said, it's to do with my sister. And as I spoke that, it was like a tape came out of my mouth. And on it, it said, you have to tell your sister that you love her. But you see, when I was 4, I was sent away. And when I came back, my sister was there, and I resented her from the very beginning. We ended up marrying cousins, and we had a relationship, but it wasn't what it should have been. I went back to my husband, and I said, I have to tell Linda that I love her. I said, but she's so busy. She won't want to speak to me. And in my head, I was going to tell her when I was ready in the future. So I picked up the phone and I said, oh, Linda, I said, I've got to speak to you about something. She said, that's all right. She said, I'm in bed. I've got a bad back and you can come tomorrow morning. Which, anyway, I went over to her house. I literally dragged myself up the stairs. I flung open the bedroom door and I said, God's told me to tell you that I love you. But today we phone each other most days, and it's not easy to tell her I love her. Then one evening we went to a service, and the preacher preached. And I can't remember what it was on, but I turned to my husband and I said, do you know, I have to forgive my parents for ruining my childhood. In my head, I knew as a Christian that I should forgive them, but I was making excuses all the time. But I went up to the altar and I said, I need to tell Jesus that I have forgiven them for ruining my childhood. And I tell you what, I left that church with the most wonderful sense of well-being that I've ever experienced. It was just amazing. What I wasn't prepared for was the... God showed me there were three generational strongholds in my life. And I went, I was at a Lydia meeting sharing, and the lady said to me, "You need prayer for that." And I said, "Do I?" So they arranged for somebody to come and pray for me, and she gave me a psalm to read, which I can't remember. So I studied this psalm and thought, okay. So well, I went back to see her the next week, and she said, What came to your mind? I said, "Well, I only had a picture." I said, "It's strange." I said, "There's this cot with this lady over it, and she's dressed in a brown skirt, and she's got an apron on and a cap on, and she's leaning over this cot." So she prayed for me. Anyway, I didn't feel anything, nothing happened. But I tell you, as the day went on, it was just amazing, because I felt as though a huge root had been pulled out of my body and I was bleeding on the inside. So that, I don't know what stronghold was that, but it must have been, you know, quite a strong one. And then we went to a meeting and a man from Bedford came and he was speaking. He suddenly stopped and he said, "You know," he said, "I need to pray about the spirit of Jezebel here." And he started talking, sharing, and I'm thinking, and he said, "I want you to stand, for this applies to you." And I'm thinking, I don't know whether to stand or not, because I thought of my mother immediately. Anyway, I stood up, and it was obvious, you know, I needed prayer, and, you know, it just went. So it was very noisy, but it went. And then the Terry Virgo's church was running a course or training Christians to counsel, you know, Christian counselling course for a year. And Irene said, "Well, Grace Ministries are doing a day seminar on praying for women who'd been abused. I'd like some of you to go if you can." So I went, and I'm sitting there quite happily. And she started talking and sharing, and I sat up because I said, "That's me." She's talking about me. And as I said that, this wall, I felt as though this wall crumbled inside of me. Now, I couldn't concentrate for the rest of the day. But the next morning, I woke up and I knew I was being tormented. But the pastor of the church who would have been able to pray for me was on holiday. So I went to the lady who was leading the group, leading this counselling course, and I said, "I need some prayer immediately." So she prayed for me, and the tormenting stopped. But I said, "I can't wait for Dave Fellingham to come back." I said, "I need somewhere to go. I need somebody to pray for me now." And so there's a place, I don't know if it's still there now, but it was in Eastbourne. It was a place called Merrifield, run by a Scottish a reverend. And I went over to see him, and he prayed for me, and he talked about the God of Ashtoreth, which is in the Bible. So that was amazing. So that was dealt with. As life was going on, I realised that I wasn't taking life so seriously. Life was very serious when you've had a childhood like mine. It's, you know, but I was taking it too serious, and I realised that God had restored a sense of humour in my life, which I was thankful for. Now, as regard to my parents, when I was 17, I found myself in a hospital in Birmingham, and my father was dying. I hadn't seen him for 6 years, and he said, "I'm sorry." And I said, "That's okay." He died a fortnight later. My mother was in a home, and she was in her early 70s, and they said they were going to move her to a geriatric ward in Brighton General. Well, I knew what that ward was like, and I thought, no, I can't bear it. So I looked after her. She came and lived with us for the last 6 months of her life and died peacefully at home. But I could never call her mother. She was always grandma. And the good thing was I was able to get the local vicar to come and give her Holy Communion before she died. Since my husband's died, I've moved around to be near her grandchildren. I've been to different churches. But I would like to say I have felt, in coming to this church, I've come home. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought people home to us. I know other churches are home to other people, but you have brought people to us to be home. Thank you, Lord, for that. Before we go, I just want to say that some of the experiences that Cecily has spoken about are very deep, are very personal, and I think we should be treated confidentially. So I don't really want you to talk about this outside unless Cecily gives you permission to do so. I think that is fair. She's been very open and vulnerable giving that information here. But the other thing I would like to share is that a number of times she spoke about God healing her and receiving prayer for times when she was in trouble. And we have a group of people that are now doing prayer ministry on the Friday afternoon. And if you feel, like Cecily, that you would like somebody to pray with you for something, there's a group of three praying with us normally, and then some people outside interceding for us, praying for us while the ministry is going on. Please contact me, or please contact Chris, and just say, actually, I need some of that, what Cicely had. Because there's something in my heart that doesn't feel right and needs to be addressed. So that's just took the opportunity for that. So thank you, Cicely, for your testimony, for your bravery of giving us all that information. And if you become a member of this church, you don't need to do this, by the way. It is. She wants to do this voluntarily. So it's just to, that doesn't stop you from becoming a member of this church. It's not a requirement.
Oh, I just want to say, sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Now, I was saying, they're going to play a song in a minute.
Oh, yes.
And George Herbert was lived in the 16th century, and he wrote poetry as well as being a clergyman. And he wrote a beautiful poem called Love Made Me Welcome. Several people have put it to music, but this is Garth Hewitt's version. So I hope you enjoy it.
Good. Okay, so let us do this. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only head of the church, and in accordance with the decision of his local church meeting, we now receive Cecily Stone by reaffirmation of faith, which she's done, into membership of this congregation of the United Reformed Church. By baptism, Cecily has been received into membership of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. She has been baptized, confessed her faith in Jesus Christ as a Savior and Lord, and has accepted the privileges and responsibilities of membership to the Church of Christ. We rejoice in the journey that has brought Cecily here with us. We give thanks to God for every community of faith that she has been part of and for her desire to grow with us in Christian faith and discipleship. As she confirms her commitment to this congregation, we invite her to reaffirm her confession of faith and to promise to live as a faithful member of this fellowship. So got two questions to Cecily, and then I'll have a question to you all. So even if you're guests, you don't want to say yes, but maybe you just want to, you feel in your heart you want to support Cecily in this, and you're free to say yes to that as well. Cecily, do you confess anew your faith and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, maker of heaven and earth, giver of life, redeemer of the world?
I do.
Do you promise to continue in the worship and the fellowship of the church in this congregation, both St. Andrew's and Littlebourne, accepting the gift and the cost of following Christ and proclaiming by word and action the good news of God in Christ?
I do, with God's help.
Next one, please. This is what I'm asking you, so you can read it. In welcoming Cecily Stone as fellow member of the life of this church, do you promise your friendship in the Lord, and will you give her support in prayer and service so that she, with us, may continue to grow in the knowledge and love of God and witness of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord? Amen.
God of grace, you call us to be your servant people and gather us in the body of Christ. We thank you for sending us Sicily to work with us in serving your kingdom. Confirm us all in the power of your covenant to live in your spirit, to love each other, and to share the mind of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I can give you now the right hand of fellowship. This is what we do traditionally in this congregation and the URC. But if some of the elders would like to come forward and others that would like to give Sicily the right hand of fellowship, please come forward. And you can also do hugs of fellowship. It doesn't matter. Is there another slide? Yes. Shall we pray this together? In the name of Christ, we welcome you. May we grow together in unity and be built up in the body of Christ in love, to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. 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 Thank you. Welcome.
Love bade me welcome, yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack, from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be here. I, the unkind, ungrateful, ah, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand and smiling did reply, who made the eyes but I? Love bade me welcome, love bade me welcome, from my first entrance in. Love bade me welcome, love bade me welcome, so I did sit and eat. Truth, Lord, but I've marred them, so let my shame go where it does deserve. And know you not, says love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, says love, and taste my meat. So I did sit and eat. Love bade me welcome, love bade me welcome, from my first entrance in. Love bade me welcome, love bade me welcome, so I did sit and eat. So I did sit and eat. love bade me welcome.